Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready. Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception Perception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception Perception, the show. All right, Matt, profiles hitting the site like crazy right now. But three guys that I really want to talk about, Calvin Ridley, Hollywood Brown, T. Higgins. But be sure to go to the website, receptionperception.com. Matt is right now, he's cooking, baby. He's in the lab. He's cooking. He's pumping out these profiles like nobody's business. But man, I know you're there's a little bit of energy to you here, Matt, because I know you've been, again, you've just been in that basement, just grinding on that tape and just pumping out these RP profiles, man.
Don't have a basement, but up here in the Frog, which in Virginia Beach stands for front room over garage. But yes, that's where I'm at. People can't see it, but there's definitely a good neck beard going on here, because
there it is.
Maybe haven't attacked the face like I should, because I'm just charting so much. So before we get into the episode, I do just want to say, like, this plans for this week, free agency preview week here at Reception Perception. You mentioned it Monday morning. Four profiles hit the site. T. Higgins, Calvin Ridley, Mike Evans, Marquise Brown. These are the guys that by the end of the week, early next week, are going to be fully on the site. Michael Pittman, Gabe Davis, Curtis Samuel, Odell Beckham, Kendrick Bourne, Darnell Mooney. You can see there's quite a bit of drop-off on how exciting these names get. And then all of next week, so the week of the 11th of March, and then all through free agency, as you know, guys get released, like maybe like we talked about last episode, like a Mike Williams gets released, his profile will go on the site. A guy gets traded, you know, some receiver we're not seeing, like a I'm not putting this into the air, 49ers fans, but like Brandon Ayuk gets traded, his profile will go up on the site ASAP. So that's our free agency plans here at Reception Perception.
Let's go.
And then obviously the week of March 25th, we are fully moved on to prospects that'll be hitting the site that week,
baby.
And every week into the draft.
Let's go. All right. Let's talk about some of these profiles again that have hit the site here. Calvin Ridley, I think, especially in fantasy football, really one of the true busts of the 2023 fantasy football. Again, fantasy football campaign. I just want to highlight that, okay? One of the most inconsistent week-to-week players last year. I think of that, there's absolutely no doubt. But did finish the season, 76 catches on 136 targets, cracked 1,000 yards, had a very productive 8 touchdowns. on the season overall. Again, averaged about 60 yards per game, but week to week, Matt, he was just about as inconsistent as it comes, and a career low 55.9% catch rate. The efficiency metrics just weren't just there for Calvin Ridley in 2023.
Yeah, it's funny, and I know I've made this point in the show before that I first thing I wrote in the profile that I definitely regret getting overly enthusiastic about Calvin Ridley in fantasy football. You okay. were definitely a little more wise about this than I was. I will say though, it's just funny, just like yeah, he's considered this bust from a production standpoint. It's definitely it was the overdrawn expectations and the week to week volatility, both of which we'll address with some of the RP data here in this profile. But also, like, I just maintain it's kind of funny that like when the Jags made this trade for Calvin Ridley at the deadline last year, you know, this kind of unique trade with all these different draft pick stipulations and all that,
right,
and playing time stipulations and future contract stipulations. If you had told the Jaguars or anybody at that time, yeah, in 2023, he's going to catch 76 passes for over 1,000 yards and catch 8 touchdowns, people have probably been like, wow, great. Great trade.
Score.
Like, that actually worked out. Yeah, that worked really well. We'll take that.
Yep.
So
totally.
It's just funny, like the expectations really got out of whack for Calvin Ridley. But yeah.
They did.
I mean, to dive into it here, I think the overall takeaway, James, for me from his profile was that this was a multi, in terms of the volatility and, you know, some of the issues week to week for him, it was a, some of it's on Ridley. Yeah, because I think fantasy folks are like, well, F Calvin Ridley, he stinks, all that stuff. you know, but some he definitely was a little bit worse than anticipated, but he was still a darn good player, and some of the other factors involved here are a big thing of why he was so volatile week to week.
Okay, so I take a look at it, right, and I'm saying to myself, all right, Calvin Ridley, I don't think had a very good season. But when I look at the RP profile, Matt, this guy was green on nearly every single route this past year. And again, when you go to the website, receptionperception.com, green is good. Okay, that means he was above league average on nearly every single route. The only route that he was below league average on was the curl. But again, I think a lot of people are going to be very surprised by that.
Yeah, by the way, curl routes, running a lot of curl routes, 18.9%. That was tied with the nine route in terms of his most commonly run route. But you're right, Ridley's still a really good route runner and a really high quality separator. 71.9% success rate versus man coverage. That's 69th percentile. That's a pretty good number. We like any outside receiver that's going to be over 70%. It is worth noting, though, while that's a good number, it is not well below, but pretty decently below his career expectations, where in his first four seasons of his career, we're talking about a guy that was 76.2%, 77.6%, 76%, and 76.4% success rate versus man coverage. So a little tick down in his first year back from a year and a half away from football. But his success rate versus zone was right in line with career expectations, 80.4% success rate versus zone for him. Now, where there was a real drop off was against press coverage. And this was a clear issue throughout the course of the season, just watching him, like even yards per route run against press coverage, targets per route run against press coverage, those numbers actually were in line with the RP data here, which isn't always the case, but it was in line with the RP data here, where the first 4 years of his career, Calvin Ridley with the Atlanta Falcons, 78.6% success rate versus press, 77.6%, 75.6%, and 75%.
Okay.
Here with the Jacksonville Jaguars, he falls down to 66.7%, which is it's like fine. It's a little bit below average, but it's a big drop off for him, like a 10% drop off for him. That was the one thing that I think, if we're looking at Calvin Ridley from an individual standpoint, we'll talk about the usage and deployment here and where the Jaguars are at fault in just a second. But rounding out the Ridley part of this, where he was clearly a lesser version of himself, was against press coverage, working physical off the line of scrimmage. You know, the technique stuff is still generally there, but I think he was just a little less explosive off the line, a little easier to beat around from physical corners. And maybe that's, again, part of being away from a year, part of just being, you know, a year and a half older than where he was. Sure. You got to remember, this is also a guy who came into the league pretty older too. He was an older prospect, sneaky old, as we like to say. So that could maybe just be a part of it for Ridley too. But yeah, that was a big drop off for him. The one big drop off for him was the success rate versus press. And in addition to, you know, he dropped too many passes and he wasn't good in contested situations either. But that's sort of where Ridley is. Like, clearly still a very, very good separator, but a guy that struggled against press coverage last year.
You talk about some of the downturn there in regards to the press coverage. I don't know, just watching him on film, Matt, how do you explain some of that? Again, a 10% drop off. I know he's been away from the game for nearly 2 years, but that's a significant drop off. And I know that he's, you know, I don't know. I don't even want to say he's old. I mean, the guy's still a very young man. He's, you know, absolutely in his prime right now. How do you explain away some of that, man?
I mean, he's 29 years old, like he, which is not old. You're right.
No,
but,
right.
But it's just generally where we're starting to like raise an eyebrow at receivers. And I just really think that we forget that sometimes, like, man, it's so hard to get back into football shape. Like, you haven't played for, and I know you said this so much in the preseason, I wish I'd just listened to you about this. Like, yeah, it's one thing what he looked like those first 4 years of his career, which weren't even full seasons, played 3 years and then like five games in 2021.
Right.
Like, that RP data is really good, but like, that's 2021, that's a lifetime ago at this point, you know, like how in shape was he going to be? And I'm not even saying like he was lazy or out of shape. Like, I think when we talk about that, like, I'm questioning his dedication. I'm not at all. Clearly he worked really hard to get back into the NFL, but like, you're just going through the week to week grind of a season, the damage that does to your body over the course of it. Like, you know, somebody asked me in the Discord, was there like a clear progression? Like, the longer he played, the more comfortable he got. Like, not really. Actually, like, some of his best games were right to start the season. Some of his best games were to end the season, but then there were duds kind of all mixed, you know, throughout it, because like, that's just how it goes. Like, sometimes your body's feeling better on a given week, and sometimes it's feeling worse. Like, that's not even just football. Like, that's just life. And it's just more eccentric. It's just more.
That's just life, baby.
It's just more extreme when we're talking about a football player. So I think that there's it's a leap of faith to say like, oh yeah, he could, from an individual standpoint, get back to where he was in those first few seasons from a press cover standpoint. But shoot, even if he doesn't get back there, like, again, we're talking about a player that's 71.9% success rate versus man, 80.4% success rate versus zone. Like, that is a really good player and a high quality starting outside receiver. Maybe not a number one receiver, but like a high quality starting outside receiver that you can work around those press issues. I think this is where we can transition into the Jags part of this, that the Jags coaching staff last year just didn't do a lot to work around those issues, man. It was striking, at least when you roll out the profile.
What could the Jags have done? Should they have put him in motion a little bit more? Should they? Because, again, the Jags offense is pretty static. You know, they had Ridley lining up outside and basically asking him to win one on one a lot of times. And as we saw, Matt wasn't winning one-on-one all that often. So I don't know, man. What could the Jags have done?
Yeah, so here's the Jaguars part of this and where they did not do Ridley any favors. I mean, this is a guy who lined up almost exclusively. Static is the way to say it. Lined up almost exclusively as an X receiver. And like, prior to this season, I would have said, prior to him leaving the NFL, I'm like, yeah, he has the ability to beat press man coverage like an X receiver. Yeah. But clearly, again, that was an issue throughout the season. They should have adjusted that. They did a little bit better job at the back half of the season moving him around. But again, this guy, just look at his alignment data from this past season with Jacksonville. 78.8% success rate, 78.8% of his sample snaps were outside. He was on the line. He was on the line for 79% of his snaps, and he was outside 81.8%. That is almost exclusively X receiver stuff. But and in Atlanta, in his best seasons, James, we're talking about a guy that was like 50-50 from 2020 to 2018. 50-50 kind of between X and flanker. That probably would have been better usage for him. Because here's the real problem where this like where this comes into it, you look at the route tree that Ridley was assigned as that X receiver, which, by the way, he still got double coverage on 13.6% of his routes. Like, that's a pretty, it's not an extremely high amount, but it's a pretty high amount for a number one receiver. Like, teams wanted to take away Calvin Ridley. They did dedicate extra resources to do that. And the route tree made it even easier on top of the alignment. 48.6% of Ridley's sampled routes were a nine, a curl, or a comeback. Like, we're talking about being tethered to the line, no motion, and just working the boundary. Like, you're either running down the field or you're coming back to the quarterback. And Ridley's good on those below expectations this year, no doubt about it, but he's generally good on, like, comeback routes and generally pretty good running nine routes. But it just makes it harder. It invites higher degree of difficulty throws. Like, the best way I can say it is that the Jaguars took a route running specialist in Calvin Ridley and gave him, like, our favorite receiver, Devontae Parker's role, or Mike Williams' role, or, like, George Pickens' role. And that just didn't make a lot of sense to me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, less than 10% of his routes were slant routes, which I think that doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of
sense. That's wild.
First of all, I mean, if you're playing the X receiver spot, just that to me doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Right, like you either want to be able to test these guys vertically, but if they're giving you too much space, man, like you got to be able to have something in the bag where you're like, all right, cool, quick slant route inside, right? Less than 10% slant route percentage for Calvin Ridley, that's insanity to me. I have a question in regards to, again, the curl route, because he's green, which means he's above average everywhere else. He's below league average on the curl route. And when you look at his historical data, Matt, huge drop off. I mean, his first 3 years in the league, you know, somewhere in that 85% success rate range and in the curl. And in 2023, we're looking at 72% success rate. That's a big time drop off. Again, kind of sort of visually from the film perspective, what are we looking at there?
Well, the curl route's a man beater. Like, that's a man beater route. You know, you're going to want to, like, especially for these outside receivers like Calvin Ridley, who still, like, he shouldn't be a slot, okay? Like, that's Christian Kirk's role. Like, he should still be an right. outside receiver, but probably yep. as that Z. Probably, he could, you know, it could be more 60-40 ZX. Like, that's probably the best usage for Ridley to mm-hmm. invite some of those those high percentage throws is really what you're looking for with Ridley. So, like, think about, like, a guy like Ridley, like, you're push. You're pushing vertically. You're pushing down the field, and then you're coming back to the quarterback. Like, that's a man coverage beating route. And that was clearly where or press coverage beating route, and that was really where Ridley struggled this year. Yes. I think some of it's a timing issue. You know, Lawrence and Ridley talked a lot about how they were desperately trying to work on their chemistry, and there were times where it looked incredible. I mean, curl route specifically. Dude, Calvin Ridley tore up the Colts on these curl routes and, like, these go routes and stuff like that in week one. Like, it looked like right away they had great chemistry. Mm-hmm. At other times, the timing wasn't right. great. Also, by the way, like, even beyond just, hey, where is Ridley lining up? How are we deploying Ridley? There were other issues in Jacksonville's offense from a pass protection standpoint that's throwing off the timing of these plays that I think made it harder for Lawrence and Ridley to get on the same page. Yeah. But yeah, so that's kind of just where I would say that drop off was. Again, just it goes back to the man press coverage stuff where we saw a drop off with him as a player.
Calvin Ridley, you talk about the efficiency here. Again, had just a touch over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns on 136 targets. I just want to compare that to 2020, okay, where he had a fantastic season, okay? He saw 7 more targets in 2020. He ended up with 350 more yards, 1 more touchdown, and a 63% catch rate. Again, a 56% catch rate in 2023, so that's a 7% difference. The efficiency just from catching the ball in contested situations, after the catch ability, all of these metrics, man, the efficiency just was not there. So we'll see if he can get back to that level of athleticism and consistency in 2024. As a matter of fact, Matt, I'll ask you, where does Calvin Ridley, if he ends up back with the Jaguars, because I think he will, if Calvin Ridley's back in a Jaguars uniform, what does his 2024 season look like? Does he get back on track?
Well, like we talked about on the last episode, I think they're a team that does have a need at receiver. I think they have, mm-hmm. whether Ridley's back or not. Now, if Ridley's gone, they have a desperate need at receiver.
Yeah,
like, especially an outside receiver. And, like, I've definitely had enough of Zay Jones. I don't need, like, and that was a problem for, by the way, like, this is where I'll let the Jags off the hook. Although I think, like, right. sometimes you got to just throw a lesser player out at X and do more to get one of your best players in Calvin Ridley the ball in advantageous situations.
But right.
like, I mean, Zay Jones is not playing X receiver for the damn Jaguars. Jamal Agnew, converted cornerback kick returner. Like, that's the guys that we were dropping yeah. off from Ridley to these guys at outside receiver, which is why I think they were kind of so, we got to have Ridley in this because he's the only guy who can really win it at above average rate in this role. I think they desperately need to add, like, a big ball winner to sort of kind of complement these guys in this room. Maybe their early second round pick or, you know, their second round pick, they could be a receiver. I wouldn't even hate it if they took a receiver in the first round, just a cheap guy too. Like, they have, if they re-sign Ridley, it'll be on a contract. Highly paid contract. Christian Kirk is obviously well paid by this team. You know, Evan Ingram's well paid by this team. I think yeah. a rookie would behoove them. And that would help them move Ridley around, which would certainly make him a better player, I think.
We talked about this during the season, Matt. The depth behind Ridley and Kirk was just atrocious.
Hideous. Yeah, it was hideous.
I mean, when you lose Zay Jones and your offense falls apart, that's a problem, too. Do you know what I mean? The splits between when Ridley had Zay Jones and didn't have Zay Jones is just, it's stark, man. But the depth behind those two top guys, was just, I mean, abysmal. And by the way, we saw Parker Washington late in the season. He could play a little bit too. Why didn't they get this guy on the field a little bit sooner?
But he's a slot. He's a slot only. Like, he's a guy that should be, and he did take Christian Kirk's role once he got hurt. You know, right. So that's another problem. I mean, that's a problem where Christian Kirk, best from the slot. Parker, and not a guy that you're going to play outside. You're certainly not going to play him at X receiver, maybe a little bit of flanker and two receiver sets.
Sure.
But he's best utilized as your slot. And then Parker Washington, who's probably your and even he's a day three rookie, right?
Like, yeah.
I just think, like, they need to I think they're moving on from Zay Jones. I think they need more outside receiver threats. And
they do.
We're saying, Ridley, you know, was a guy that maybe they were just hoping they could throw out an X receiver and that's it. That didn't really work. It was fine. It was not a disaster, but they needed to move him around a little more. So you see what I'm saying? Like, it's all these guys that you're sort of kind of catering to, which is where I think Ridley is at this point in his career. Like, a guy that's a very obviously objectively good football player and still a great route runner, but a guy that you're sort of kind of catering to. So I would love to see them add a guy that just, like, we can throw out an X receiver. And even if he's fourth in the target pecking order here from Kirk and Ingram and Calvin Ridley, it's a guy that's we could trust in that role. And, like, when we need him, he's out there, we can feel fine about it.
I just think about the stark contrast between somebody like Sean McVay and Doug Peterson. Okay, like, yeah, you're right. Parker Washington's best role's in the slot. You know, Christian Kirk's best role's in the slot. I get it. But, you know, somebody like Sean McVay, he's going to figure it out. Shanahan, he's going to figure it out. He's going to find ways to get these guys on the field and get them in advantageous situations. And Doug Peterson, while he is certainly a step in the right direction from a coaching perspective for Jacksonville, I think he's still not quite there.
His loyalty to offensive coordinator Press Taylor has been a problem in two spots now, back in Philadelphia now once again here in Jacksonville, because the offense was good and didn't have some of these same issues when Peterson was pulling the strings in 2022. But when he fully turned that thing over to Press Taylor, because he sees himself in Press Taylor, like Andy Reid, you know, he's going to be the Andy Reid to Press Taylor's Doug Peterson. That's the issue.
Right. Okay, so Hollywood Brown is going to hit the market here. I'm not 100% sure he goes away from Arizona. I guess we'll see. He's going to his age 27 season, Matt. He should be considered to be in his absolute prime. Across 14 games, though, in 2023, not a great season whatsoever. 101 targets, 51 catches, 571 yards. I had to double check that. I was like, 571? Four total touchdowns. Obviously, quarterback was an issue there in Arizona for a bit. But it doesn't really, I don't know if it totally explains away his 50.5% catch rate. That is a career low by a million miles. And again, a career low 5.7 yards per target as well. From the RP data that I see, Matt, career low marks in man and zone success rates too. 59% success rate versus man, sub 79% success rate versus zone. Not a good season for Hollywood Brown.
No, not a good season for Hollywood Brown. Now, I think he is a guy that was dealing with a lot of injuries last year. You know, he was consistently nagged and bothered by a heel injury, which unfortunately was more towards the back half of the season. Like, Marquise Brown had some good moments with, like, Josh Dobbs and ended up kind of looking like almost he was going to be a steal in fantasy at some points, because he was clearly their best receiver. I like Michael Wilson, their rookie receiver, but he's a rookie receiver, right? So, like, Marquise Brown was a guy that was, you know, having some moments, and then Kyler Murray gets back, and at that point, Marquise Brown's falling apart from a health perspective. And that's been a thing for Marquise Brown since before he entered the NFL. He's always been a guy that's been consistently banged up. So I think that's an issue for him, where that clearly affected the performance. But you're right, the career low success rate versus man coverage, 59%. The career low success rate versus zone, 78.8%, which is, you know, 51st percentile. It's not terrible, but it is what it is. But the thing is, though, James, like, that also tracks with the course of Marquise Brown's career in terms of better versus zone, than press man. And what I don't like about Marquise Brown's season last year, I don't like a lot about Marquise Brown's season, but what I really didn't like from a Cardinals, and I think the Cardinals did a wonderful job from a coaching perspective, given the talent that is on that roster. But Brown was her best receiver, but I don't love that, similar to what we just talked about with Calvin Ridley, he was on the line for 77.4% of his sampled snaps. He took just 16.2% of his sample snaps from the slot. That's a lot of X receiver stuff for a guy who's like a fake 175 or whatever. You know, he's a slight player, is Marquise
Brown.
He is.
And he's never been
good against press coverage. Like, throughout the course of his career in reception perception, he's never even crossed 65% success rate versus press. Like, this is not a guy that's a high quality press coverage beater. So I don't love that deployment from him. I think there is a use for Marquise Brown, but we're definitely in, like, he is where he is territory. Don't think they had the right role for him. Do think he struggled with injuries last year, which affected his performance. But even still, there are, like, he has some strengths. He has some clear weaknesses that I think make him a clearly defined player at this point in his career.
Look, we're obviously, when I ask you this question of what does he do in 2024, obviously landing spot is so key, and I understand that. But I'm just talking about from an RP perspective. Did you see enough there where you're like, all right, like I said, this guy is going into his age 27 season. The injuries are concerning. I mean, so many foot injuries to start his career. Now, obviously, he had foot injuries here, heel injuries or heel foot injuries or whatever it is to kind of close out 2023. What's the trajectory, you think, here for Hollywood Brown?
Yeah, so, like, just to talk about the strengths of Hollywood Brown, like I said, that zone coverage success rate is 51st percentile. It is a career low. Before that, he's always been above 80%. Like, I do think he is a good quality zone beater who really...
Which, by the way, real quick, for the listeners who are not just totally indoctrinated into the RP stuff, if you want to be a high-quality receiver in this league, you have to be over 80% success rate versus zone. Again, depending on your role, if you're just a strictly outside X receiver, okay, then, you know, there's some leeway there. But again, for a player like Hollywood Brown, who you're going to, you know, kind of sort of mix and match his routes, you need to see this guy above 80%, especially given his size. You got to see this guy above 80%.
And that's the key, too, is wherever he goes next, I also need to see Marquise Brown lining up in the slot. I need to see him at flanker. I don't need to see him out. Like, I always thought he'd be best as like a 60-40 slot outside guy. Like, because where he really shines is like on intermediate routes. And even this past year where we're talking about he wasn't at his best from a health perspective, dig route success rate is high, post route success rate is high, out route success rate is high. Like, this is a guy that if you run a play action heavy offense now, I mean, you're asking tiny Marquise Brown to do some blocking. That's definitely not gonna be great, but like play action offense, we're ripping him on crossing routes over the middle of the field from the slot, off the line, pre-snap motion. I think there's a place for Marquise Brown, but it's as a complimentary player because he's also like he's not good at contested situations because he's small. He's also not good after the catch because he's small from a tackle breaking perspective. You get him in space, he can run, but he can't break tackles. He was brought down on first contact on 82.4% of his in-space attempts and reception perception this past year. That's actually a number that's trending in the wrong direction. 57.9% in 21, 76.6% in 22, because I'm sure with all these injuries, he's losing a little bit of speed and elusiveness as well. So, I think there's, like, at times I've really liked Marquise Brown as a player. I still kind of sort of think he's fine. He just is a guy that I think needs to be in the right role. He needs to be a complimentary player. Like, he shouldn't be your one. Not even sure he really should be your high volume two. There's a use for him in the modern NFL, especially as teams are emphasizing pre-snap motion. I just think that there has to be a kind of like coming to terms with, like, we know who he is as a player, and whoever he plays for next has to do a better job of hiding him in ways and masking the weaknesses and allowing the good things he does, like those intermediate routes, to really shine.
Okay, so two things about his RP profile that really stick out to me. Okay, again, given his size and speed, this is a player that I don't care. You got to win on slant routes. And for him to have a sub 75% slant route success rate, that's extraordinarily concerning for me.
Running a lot of slants too, buddy.
I mean, again, nearly a quarter of his routes are slants. Matt, I don't know. Talk me through this. Do you agree that this is an absolutely problematic stat for Marquise Hollywood Brown?
Well, and just think about it. Again, we're talking about a guy who has inconsistent technique. I think he's shown flashes, especially in college, of being like a good route runner, being a good technician. Just hasn't always been there. Been a little loose at times in the pros. And again, we're thinking about him as on the line of scrimmage, press man coverage. At that size, like, he can just get mauled on those slant routes. So it is a concern, especially when we're lining him up outside so much on the line of scrimmage, and he's a guy that is going to be running against man coverage. It's a problem, the slant specifically.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So I'm taking a look at his career numbers too. You know, it's been up and down somewhat, but you know, I think we could consistently say, all right, this is a player that, you know, has been above 75%. We're looking at 87% success rate on the slant route in 2020. We're looking at 84% success rate on the slant in 2022. Big time drop off here in 2023 when you take a look at his RP profile at just 74%. So I think what this speaks of to me is maybe the injuries a little bit, yeah. and obviously the inconsistencies, you know, kind of year to year for Hollywood.
Yep, that's my concern as well, that we're starting to see the toll that these injuries are taking, and I think that's a justifiable concern.
Okay, so the other thing that really sticks out to me, and this is odd for a player who did, as you mentioned, lined up as an outside X receiver so often. Brother, 12% of all of his routes were outbreaking routes. Just 12%. I mean, if we're looking at the corner route, the out route, the comeback route, the flat route, you add all those up, all of those routes combined are about 12% of his route tree. That's odd. That is very odd considering where he's lining up as well.
Now, I think that's where the Cardinals kind of got this right, because I do think you want him working over the middle of the field. But again, they're trying to get him into space. He's not a good player in space just because he's too small to break these tackles. Not like a plus-plus yak guy. But those are the routes I've generally liked him working against zone coverage. Like, again, they got like half right here. You'll want Marquise Brown running in breaking routes because those are his best routes against zone coverage. And he saw a good bit of zone coverage, but he could have been a lot higher in terms of his routes against zone if he was lined up off the line, in the slot, all that type of stuff. So because I give him credit. They got this like 50% right with Marquise Brown. Right. Like, the routes are fine. You don't want him running a lot of outbreaking routes, but it's just the usage there from a deployment perspective is, yeah. It just all is wrong from there, like all trickling down.
So curious to see where he goes, because I tell you what, despite the fact that he had a really down 2023, just with just his abilities, you know, to kind of break a game open over the top. And that's the kind of stuff that teams are looking for right now. You know, they just need some of that speed, whether he's going to be a decoy or not. But I don't care. Marquise Hollywood Brown, I think, still has a little something, something. He's entering into the prime of his career. And again, if he can stay healthy and get back on track, he will be certainly a very interesting player here in free agency. Okay, so T. Higgins was, again, supposed to be the crown jewel of the free agent market. We've talked about T. Higgins a lot. But, you know, it hasn't become official, at least by the time we're recording here, but he's going to get tagged by Cincinnati. We'll be back with the Bengals in 2024. Had an injury-riddled campaign, Matt. 76 targets, 42 receptions, just 656 targets. Did catch 5 touchdowns, though. That's pretty good, but a career low 55.3% catch rate. He's a career 65-ish percent guy, so a 10% drop-off in terms of catch rate. But what did RP see with T. Higgins in 2023?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about T. Higgins last week, and the profile is pretty much done, and it's on the site. And he was tagged by the Bengals. I think he has officially been tagged, but he's not. It's like, is he a tag-and-trade guy? I think he probably ends up playing this year with the Bengals. I'm with you. The biggest issue, when we talk about this with T. Higgins, that he did have career low marks across the board, success rate versus man, zone, press. But I do think he's a guy that is fine. Like that was clearly injury to me. I'm wondering if he's topped out a little bit as like a top 20 receiver, not a guy that's going to jump into the superstar territory. I mean, he's kind of superstar adjacent to me, but he's not quite there because I don't know. I could see him being a really quality two. I'm still kind of open question in terms of if he can be a one for a great team. But the reality with T. Higgins is he's obviously a good player. Teams would be lining up to get him if he was available. He's not available. And the 2023 film isn't great, but because it's excusable, I'm not sure how much to really worry about it.
Yeah, I gotcha. I will throw this one out to you. I always come back to this. Would you rather have, forget about contracts for whatever, just straight up player, would you rather have T. Higgins or Nico Collins? I mean, because again, we're talking about two players that I think play very similar roles. They've got similar body types and all that kind of stuff, and they do similar things. But it's interesting to me because I ask you this, and I'm being 100% serious because T. Higgins is viewed as this, again, the crown jewel of this, offseason wide receivers that were quote unquote available that were not really available. But, if he hit free agency, teams would be lining up to try and sign T. Higgins. I actually don't think that would be the case with Nico Collins. And I think the talent gap there is a lot closer than I think a lot of folks would think.
Oh, I think if I think if Nico Collins, which it is funny we're talking about these two players because I remember like a few years ago when I wrote the 2021 rookie report Nico Collins was a rookie on the site, and I said he like kind of had shades of a poor man's T. Higgins. And then when Nico started breaking out this year, and shout out to anybody who said this to me because I know you're a diehard, was like, is it time to call T. Higgins the poor man's Nico Collins? All that stuff. So I've always been a fan of Nico Collins. I will say this, like, the year that Nico Collins just had, I think, in my opinion, is better than any year that that T. Higgins has had in the NFL. And then T. Higgins had his worst year last year. So I'm very tempted to say Nico Collins right now I would rather have. And I think, if he hit the market, he would get paid. Nico Collins would.
Yeah, I mean, but again, it's interesting to me. I think the public perception hasn't quite caught up yet to where they think T. Higgins is at. I think the talent gap there is negligible. Both these players are really, really good. I think as outside X receivers, and I don't necessarily know if you can build your entire offense around these guys, but golly, they're going to be great number ones, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and T is interesting because he hasn't always been an X. Like, even this past year in reception perception, he took 57.8% of his sample snaps on the line. He was off the line for 42.2%.
Yeah.
Because Jamar Chase is a great X receiver, if he was right. traded to, I don't know, one of these teams that we talked about on the last episode.
Well, just swap them. I mean, just swap Nico and T right now. Yeah, what happens? Right.
Like, I think that T is the X receiver on that offense, and I think Nico would move around a little bit, but that's what's really fascinating too. And if he was traded to the Giants or he was traded to, one of these teams that really needs an X, I think he'd just play X with T. Higgins.
Yeah. Right. I agree with that. So interesting stuff. Anyways, you want to find these profiles, go on the site, receptionperception.com. Matt's obviously dropping tons of profiles all over the place here. And again, if you're into Dynasty, if you're into, you know, you're talking about some of these, you know, long-term sleeper types, man, I cannot personally wait until some of these prospect profiles hit the site here. Remind the folks again, when can they find the prospects?
March 25th. Prospects will start hitting
the site. It's coming,
baby. And then, I mean, it is. It's coming fast and furious. And then every week leading up to the draft, new players will be added.
I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, so go check out the website, receptionperception.com. A little bit of a shorter episode here, but that's okay. Hey, by the way, if you guys are one of our ardent listeners, first of all, God bless you, man. We love you. But do us a favor. Do us a solid. Go on whatever it is you download our podcast on. If you guys could go ahead and rate the podcast, that'd be great. And leave some reviews too. That helps the algorithm for us, and you know, again, motivates us to pump out more podcasts and do all that kind of stuff. So yeah, if you guys could rate and review, man, that would be awesome. We would definitely appreciate it. But we gotta go. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you, and remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. All right, peace.